Welcome, everybody, to the Motive Podcast. My name is Shaden Bertinoli. This is Blake Altum.
Hey.
The man.
One of the man.
We're probably going to get an argument today. We'll see. No, just kidding. He doesn't like rap music. I don't either, but he doesn't like any rap music, but that's okay.
I can do some Beastie Boys.
You can do some Beastie. Okay. Is that considered rap?
Hip-hop? Candace.
Anyway.
We just off camera, set off
a surge of opinions.
She can say whatever she wants and go unpunished.
And so we're going without headphones today, too, which feels really weird to me.
I'm already used to it.
Okay.
Catch up.
All right. I'll figure it out. So today we're, you know, obviously we're always excited. I'm excited to talk about what we're doing here. So I guess forgive us if it feels like a commercial, but it really is not supposed to. But we're going to talk about Motive Men. We spent the last, year and a half running Motive Men, and it went well enough. We realized that around 70% of the guys who joined Motive Men were focusing on pornography, and then about 30% weren't. And it did okay where we had group every single week for a while. But there was such a mix of issues that guys were bringing that it just kind of, I don't know, it diversified it enough that we thought maybe we should make a shift. And then in my heart, I've always known I wanted to help men working with pornography. And so I chose, and then Blake jumped on board completely too, to say we need to build a very high quality program to help men overcome pornography and take it way more focused, intense. Mm-hmm. You know, I think about it too. I've said to a couple of guys already that I've talked to, I said, you know, if this was alcohol, like if you had an alcohol issue, like as much as if every time you look at pornography, that was actually like you getting drunk.
Mm-hmm.
What would you be like? What would your wife be doing? What would be happening? You know, and it's likely you'd be paying for some form of rehab. Like you'd be paying a lot of money, to try to get this thing figured out.
Like it can go. It's extreme. You know, it's way more outward. We've talked about that before. You know, alcoholism or drug addiction. Like you go to treatment.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to treatment, and that's one of the things. Kind of, I think what you're getting at is traditional therapy for alcoholics. Once a week, it's pretty unlikely that you're going to break that by just going to therapy, like a traditional setting, one-on-one individually, and break that addiction.
That's what I've noticed. And the opposite of addiction is connection, right? Like we know that.
Well, so that's the cure for it.
That's
for sure.
The cure. And so when you do this one-on-one therapy, yes, there's so much good that can happen. And there's so many things that need to be broken within one-on-one therapy, broken as in broken within the person, mindsets, ways of thinking, beliefs, even like the way you're approaching your addiction is usually completely backwards. And so that needs to be looked at. And so there's a high degree of education, let alone just offset from therapy that has to occur. And so, but the problem is you're doing so much of this work in isolation, and so many men, we do things in groups and we've done things in groups our whole lives. But then when it comes to this serious issue, most men are trying to do it all by themselves.
Especially pornography, because it's still taboo.
Absolutely.
And it's so rampant. Mm-hmm. Like it's everywhere.
Right. It is.
More than people know for sure because of the secrecy of it.
Yeah.
And the shame that comes along with it.
Yep. So we decided to say, you know what, we got to change this and we need to build this cohort model, very similar to what we've had before. But in Motive Men before, we actually had this ability for people to join when they wanted to. And so it was just like this running group, right, where guys could join. And so you'd have these guys that would get close and then there'd be a new guy and then another new guy.
Yeah, and then we'd spend like 30 minutes introducing him and it diluted it a little.
Yep.
It was good. Like we did it like there's no reason to minimize the help that some of these guys got, but I think what you and I both found out and maybe some of the guys was some of that experience of like, okay, well, here's a new one, we don't really know him. Can I be vulnerable? You know, can I be how I've been the last several weeks before someone else joined? And so our experience was basically what you're explaining is some, you know, it was kind of random for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so because of that, I love the Navy SEAL research. Navy SEALs do a ton of research on everything they do, and they have found that around 8 to 12 men is a great, powerful group of men to do things with. And so I think the same way.
That's cool. Just to cut you off for a second, that's cool because also group therapy research is like 10 or 12 max.
Okay.
Like, honestly, anything right. beyond that starts to become ineffective because people don't get a chance to work on the stuff that they need to.
Yep.
So smaller groups are better.
But I think a lot of people don't understand that group therapy is the most powerful form of therapy.
That's true too.
And I don't know if we've talked about that enough here, but it eliminates shame faster than anything I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just talk yourself through shame. There's a principle in therapy that says problems are solved at the level they were created. And so if this shame is so deeply embedded within you at such a high, intense emotional state, then at the same level of emotional vulnerability is where it can also heal. And so one-on-one in therapy is emotionally vulnerable, but having a group of other men who are going through it and talking about things, it does a ton.
Well, it forces you out of your comfort zone.
Exactly.
It's like, hey, if you want this to happen, get some skin in the game. And start talking.
Like, which is why a lot of guys who I've talked to are like, they're interested in the program, but I know their resistance, they're feeling a ton of resistance because of that fact. Like mm-hmm. the idea of doing this one-on-one feels easier almost when it really isn't, I promise. Like it's not, and you know that, it's just not easy.
It might be easier in the moment, but it's not working.
But the idea of showing up in a group is like really daunting, and that makes sense. But we're just trying to say, take the risk, because once you get to know that group, it's protected. Like you will be this group of men for 6 months who will go through a program together where you'll become super connected, very real with each other. You'll have a texting app, you know, you'll have a group text where you can talk.
Check in daily, have access to us.
You know, when you're feeling tempted, somewhere to turn.
Every day, all day kind of thing.
Yep.
It's awesome.
We're just trying to answer all the problems, to be real. That's what I feel like we're doing here. And maybe we probably could have just started the podcast that way of like, here are the problems men have with this with pornography. They're disconnected, they're alone, they don't have enough education. The amount of money that it would really take if you just did one-on-one therapy for probably a year is what it would take, is crazy amounts. Not to mention the opportunity cost of what kind of how much time that takes from you each week, so to speak. The lack of accountability, the lack of, I would say, realizing your own patterns and seeing other people's patterns, which is it's called normalizing. And so it's so hard to normalize when it's just one-on-one a lot of the time. If I say to you, hey, Blake, yeah, that's normal. I mean, you'll probably register it as like, okay, that feels good that other guys are going through this.
Yeah.
But when you hear like six other guys say, oh yeah, me too. Like totally. I mean, you can't replicate that.
Well, powerful. Yeah. You and I have done like multifamily therapy groups
together.
Yeah. And when you've got, you know, 10 pairs of parents together and they're like, oh, everybody, like we're not alone.
Yeah.
It's so powerful, and it immediately like drops a lot of that guilt and shame. Not all of it, but through work, yes. And weekly group therapy with these guys has been really powerful. Yeah. Like we've seen so much good work, you know, and just the fact that they can have that vulnerability without getting shamed, or even have one of the things that I love the most is when there's accountability happening. And when people can call each other out or give each other feedback about things that they might be like, they might be in their pattern in the group.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In some of those exercises of fighting that we've done with those guys, it's so fun.
That's
because
true.
Because it's so helpful.
Yeah.
And you and I, like, we're really passionate about helping. And so when help is happening, we're like, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, I know for me, I'm just like stoked out of my mind when you can watch progress happening. Like it's
right
like
in front of you.
Energizing.
Oh, it's so cool.
You know, like, you know.
That's why we can't do it at night, because I can't sleep after.
You know, like after a good therapy day, even in your private practice, like individual therapy, you could do 7 sessions. And if you got to see some progress in every session, the end of your day is like, I'm stoked. I'm going home, stoked out of my mind. I'm happy. I'm energetic. And on the other hand, if it's kind of a heavier one, it's still good. Like, you know that good work happened, but it's heavy.
Yeah.
You know, so when you get to watch progress, you're just like, that fires me up.
Yeah. And as you can tell, we're fired up about this. I mean, this has been on my mind for a long time, and just to see it it's amazing. As soon as I took that step in my mind, honestly, that's all it took was for me to commit in my mind. I could see the dominoes start to fall in ways that were really miraculous, to be honest. And so, you know, if you're listening, I, you know, especially as a man, like really think about it like this too. Just, you know, we just talked about what you'll kind of get, right? We just went over that, but really think about your life without it. Right. And you and I ask guys all this, we ask guys all the time. And most of the answers are, I don't know. Like if I said, hey, what would your life be like without this? Do you think?
Yeah.
There's usually a bit of even fear. If they're really honest, there's that fear of, honestly, I don't even know if I can imagine that.
Yeah.
They want to.
Yeah. I've been asking a question even before that.
Okay.
Which is, can you? Like, can you imagine it? Can you imagine your life without pornography?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I've had some guys like kind of sit back and like, I don't know, but it's scary. And they just say it's scary. Because when you get really honest, like maybe part of you doesn't want to give it up. You know
like
what I mean?
Like sugar. You know, same thing, like sugar, anything.
It's
like,
thanks for going right after my main issue.
Yeah, dude, it's the reality of it.
I'm addicted to sugar.
Dude, but sugar's good.
Especially at night. But what was I going to say about that? Oh, it's kind of been your friend.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a friend. It's it's easily accessible. It's super reliable. And when I say reliable, like it'll make you feel better.
Well, and you can find it whenever you need it, just like you know, a good friend. Can I text you right now?
Yeah, you're carrying it around in your pocket, basically. Yeah. That's so scary. Like you're carrying around pornography in your pocket.
All the time.
It's there whenever.
Yep.
And that's one of the other points that you and I have hit on is it's and I don't know if this is fully true. I think at the end of the day it is true. It's a lot easier to hide. Pornography doesn't manifest itself like alcoholism or drug addiction.
It's not as physical.
After some time, people might sense that something's off or whatever, and you're having secrets and all this kind of stuff. It's got to be really extreme for you to lose your job. Like alcoholism, if you're showing up drunk all the time, like you're gonna lose your job. You're gonna lose your spouse. And you might with pornography, but it takes a long time for that to come out sometimes.
Yeah.
So
one thing that going back to my point of, so I love that. Like, can you imagine it? So if you're listening, really try to like, and think about what that would be worth to you, right? Think about what that would be worth to think, how could you actually make more money in your job? Would you have a better relationship with your spouse? Would you have more confidence dating? Would you have more confidence in just showing up wherever you are? You know, just really start to visualize that, because that's where guys undercut the value. They really don't understand the impact that this has on your daily life. When you're showing up with shame every morning, you know, you guys know how it goes. Like when you wake up in the morning and you know that you messed up last night, there's such a shame within you. There's a sense of, I mean, you're waking up to a feeling of failure, or you failed so many times where you've now numbed that.
Yeah.
You're just like, you've actually gone beyond the feeling of shame and the feeling of failure, and you've kind of just gone numb as a way of coping. But guys, that's not good. that's really bad.
Well, when you find yourself empty after a while, then it starts to get really bad.
Yep.
You're not connected to anyone. You're isolating because you're so full of shame. You're isolating to hide the secret. You're isolating to do the secret.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You're finding ways to be alone. That you can do that. And that is part of the numbing eventually.
And one of the biggest insights I've had, and I've been wanting to share this for a while. I was talking to someone and I said, you know, what is one of the most powerful traits that a woman has? And that's to create, I believe. I think women are, they're creators. I heard some guys say, you know, you give a woman a house, she'll make a home. Like I think it kind of went viral on Instagram or something. You give her flowers, she'll make you bread. They just create. You literally, I mean, not to be weird, but you give her a sperm and she creates a human.
Yeah.
It's like, holy cow. Like they create. So if a woman's power is to create, then what is a man's power? And I'd never said it before, but it came to me and it definitely made an impression on me that a man's responsibility is to protect what she creates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think men so often when they hear the word, when they look at manhood and masculinity as providing and protecting,
yeah,
we're so quick to be like, well, I just got to guard her from people that could hurt her. Like I'm protecting her from people that could hurt her. It's like, no, like that's not what protection means per se. Yes. That's like at the top of the hierarchy.
Maslow's,
it's like, okay, that's cool. But really our job is to protect that which they create. So when you think about a woman and if you're struggling with looking at yourself in the mirror, well, this is what I said. I said, I don't believe that men can truly have a good perception of their own masculinity or manhood when looking at pornography, when knowing that you struggle with that so bad. Why? Because using a woman as an object for sexual fulfillment secretly, it directly opposes the power of protection.
Right.
It directly opposes it in its complete opposition. And therefore, I was asking men like probably what, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I kept asking these guys, I said, hey, I just got a question for you. What kind of man do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And there was always this blank stare. So I said, listen, let's just say pornography was taken from you, right? It's just taken away from you. What kind of man would you want to be tomorrow? And it was always like almost every time this blank stare. And I was sitting there with one guy and the Holy Ghost was so clear. And it said to me, how can someone imagine what kind of man they want to be when they don't think they're a man to begin with?
Right.
And I just took a pause and said, hey man, never mind. Let me ask you a different question. He said, okay. And I looked at him and I said, scale of 1 to 10, 10 being when you look at yourself in the mirror, you see a man, like you truly believe that you're a man, that you respect who you are. You think other men respect who you are as a man. 1 out of 10. And the answers came so quickly without hesitation for most of them. They were like 4.
Yeah.
3, 4. And these are grown men, right?
No,
these are at least 20
adults.
Year olds.
Uh-huh.
I've asked definitely a lot older men. And that answer was that, and 0 being like a boy. And so the average answer was like probably a 4 to 4.5.
And in my experience with that same question is very similar to yours. It's like I've had some 2s and some 3s and a lot of tears.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
No, instantly, huh? I have too.
It's crazy.
It's sad. It truly is sad.
It hits them so hard. It's hard to ask the question.
It is, because like, we're not kind of shame. We're not trying to shame.
No.
It's just trying to be honest.
Well, it's solution focused. It's
sure.
Totally like a forward moving question.
Like, what do you want? Who do you want?
Depending on how you take it. And obviously that's our job, is to say, hey man, we're not trying to like set you in this box.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you get up to a 3 or 4 or 5, you know, and on and on. It's a hopeful question, but it's a hurtful question, not intended to hurt. But even as the therapist, I'm like, hey man, I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had that experience?
Oh yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to ask you a really hard question, man.
Basically at the core of your identity.
Yeah.
You know? And I had an experience a couple of weeks ago where the person gave me a high number.
Yeah.
And I knew I had to say like, no.
Yeah. You're not being honest.
You're not. I don't see you as that either.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best, it was the best session we've ever had. And it actually helped them to like really see things differently.
Yeah.
And so as the reason I bring this up is because I believe, and you know this, Blake, but that's what we're doing with this program. Pornography is just in the way of being this man.
Oh yeah.
Our objective isn't just pornography, like liberation, if you will. Like, yes, that's one of them, but it isn't necessarily the outcome we're focused on. The outcome we're focused on is you can look yourself in the mirror and like what you see.
Yeah. Respect
both internally in your eyes and even physically on the outside too, that your countenance has changed,
yeah,
that your physical body has changed. You've put on muscle, that you've gotten stronger, that you've become more disciplined. That's that's my vision for every guy that is going to commit to doing this. Like, dude, when you look in the mirror, it will be different.
It's awesome. It reminds me of a concept that that you'll recognize in therapy school, first order change and second order change.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? First order change, you've changed your behaviors.
Exactly.
Like, cool, good job.
Yep.
That like, and yep. I mean that.
Yeah.
Like, cool, good job.
Yeah, it's hard.
Second order change is to change those behaviors and your character. And so that's what you're talking about. I was like looking in your mirror, like, yep, I'm strong.
Yep.
You know, I can withstand things. I will push through it. I will protect, right?
Yep.
It's so cool. And I've been using that principle a lot lately.
Have you?
In sessions with men.
Yes.
It's like character change, dude. Not personality change, not like, you know, this full
yeah.
morphing, but like change your character, including honesty with yourself, honesty with everyone else. I mean, it's just integrity.
Yeah.
It's those basic principles that everybody wants to achieve, but they've been too scared or they haven't had the resource.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay, this is your resource.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to make sure happens, right? Is that every guy wants, so we want to have, we'll have a weekly group. And yeah. one of those every other week is what we're planning right now, where 1 week will be pure programmed
like
recovery education.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. When I talk to men, I mean, it's yes, therapy is needed. They need to process some pain. They need to go through some things for sure. But when it really comes down to so many guys as they're beginning to try to move this through, it's flat out knowledge.
They need
awareness.
Understanding.
You have to have your level. You have to increase your awareness tenfold.
Yeah.
And so that's what we will accomplish that for sure. You will learn from 30 plus years of education between the two of us, and experience with just therapy. And then you'll have the other week will be more of a process focused group where you actually just be real with other men and connect. And so that's where our approach right now, that could shift along the way if we feel like it needs to, but right now that's where we're beginning and that feels right, feels good.
And there's going to be room within those education weeks to also check in and just kind of chime in and talk about it. But
yeah,
we're way more focused this time. We're just excited, but yep. we're not trying to dog on like individual therapy
no.
either. You know, like that's one of the thoughts. It's like, but we've been doing this so long. You and I both have been trying to help people break pornography for our whole career.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And individual therapy can help. It does help. Like I don't doubt at all that it helps. And people can break it with that by alone, but mm-hmm. it's pretty unlikely. That's what you and I have seen.
So that's why within the package deal of becoming a member of Motive Men, you have access to Blake. And I know we mentioned it early on the podcast briefly, but we're telling guys you get one-on-one help with us. So you have access to Christy and to set up appointments. And those appointments will be very goal directed and focused. And they're not going to be so much like typical therapy. If you need an hour, then we'll use an hour. If you need 10 minutes, then we'll use 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's going to be. But we're not limiting. We're not saying you only get a certain amount of hours. Now that also allows us to say, no, we're going to, we know
reason.
How much you probably need too. There's going to
yep.
be some reason in this, but we want every guy knowing that we're all in on this. And so we are. And that's one of the bigger tokens of saying, hey, this is our sign to you that we're all in on this.
Yeah. When you think about kind of how we started, like if you can imagine yourself in 5 years, like in your career without this, without the distraction of like
yeah.
pornography and without the distraction of
waste
shame
of
that you have about not fully being a man, it just takes such a shot at your confidence. With your spouse, with girls, if you're not married, with your children, with your friends, like you're just held back in so many ways. And you're not going after what you could be going after
yeah.
without that huge distraction. I mean, it is priceless.
Yep.
It's amazing.
And that's what we hear from everyone we talk to when we ask them, what would it be worth to you? And that's why we're not going to bring up price here on this podcast. What we want to do is anyone who's interested, you can email us, you can email assistant@motive.com. You can email Blake or Shaden@motive.com, whichever you'd like. You can also call or text us and we'll set up a consultation call. That's what we want to do. We want to see your fit. You know, we're not just taking anyone. We want to see if you feel like you'd fit on this team of guys, but we're hoping to begin a new cohort, every month or so
yeah.
and to start another, you know, a group of guys to go through it at the beginning of every month. So there's a few spots left for the beginning of March, where we are recording this right now.
Yeah, and we're starting our first cohort on March 1st, and it's one of the things I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
Everything else I'm excited about. Everything else is in place, right? Like, we know what we're doing as far as walking people through this, but this cohort idea is going to change everything.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get to know these guys on an intimate level, which is like connection. Mm-hmm. That's what you need. That's the piece that's been missing. It's the cure for addiction, like we said.
Yep.
And it's onward and upward.
Yep.
It's so cool.
So yeah, I think that answers everything that, I mean, I think we exhausted everything for that.
Yeah.
So please know, and wives that are listening, please know that we want to help you in any way that we can. And so this isn't set in stone as to how everything will be. And so if you're thinking, man, my husband, he needs this, he would love this, give us a chat too. You know, we're willing to talk to you. We have female therapists here that also specialize in helping women as they go through this type of thing. And so we want to figure that out for you too. So yeah.
And we want you men to like really consider the seriousness of it. You know, the seriousness of it is like, imagine your wife's going to leave you.
Yeah.
You know, she could leave you because of it.
Yep.
You know, and what would you do? Like, what's it worth? Like, what's it worth to get rid of this?
Exactly.
So,
okay. Awesome. Thanks everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.